month, we usually have communion. Communion is a very simple process. We prepare a small piece of bread and grape juice. It is a very symbolic process. Now that we remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So today I'd like to spend time, help us to see how are we going to prepare ourselves to go through the communion. As Christmas is approaching, and we know why Jesus came into the earth, why God became a human being, He's not coming here for us to have a Christmas time to buy gifts and celebrating food and other activities. He's coming here to be our Savior. He's coming here to show us we need Him. We need God. He came here so that we may find the salvation through His death and the resurrection. He came here so that our life can be changed. So this morning, we will come into how to prepare for communion, because communion is to celebrate not his birth, it's to celebrate his death. We will see later that the piece of bread represents his body, and we'll break it, means his brokenness on the cross is for everyone who trusts him. So in the communion, we remember Jesus' death and the resurrection. And later on, we'll drink a small cup of grape juice. Grapes, when you press it, will become juice. A whole grape will not give you anything to drink unless you press it. Jesus died, bled, and his blood becomes the washing, cleansing power of God that washed away our iniquities and our sins, our transgressions, our impure desires. So through drinking of the grape juice represents and symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is really a very simple act, a small piece of bread and a small cup of grape juice. That, Jesus said, is his death and the resurrection. His covenant, his new covenant of love for everyone who believes in him. So communion is a simple process, but it has a very deep meaning, so that we need to see how are we coming into the communion. Communion, as Jesus said, we need to observe, to keep on remembering the death and the resurrection, his bleeding on the cross and his suffering on the cross for our sin, to remember this once in a while until he comes back. Many churches celebrate the communion once a month, but there are also churches who do it every Sunday. But there are other churches that do it twice or three times a year. So there are very different kinds of variations. Baptism is the beginning for people to get into the remembrance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The baptism in the Bible has a turning point for anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. For this reason, today we start by examining or by reading into the meaning of baptism. So I'd like to have Zan to read it for all of us, please.
For don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have been united with Him by this in death. We will also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died, He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the part of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the part of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace.
Thank you. Here, this passage is very clearly telling us what is the meaning of baptism. Baptism is for those who believe in Jesus Christ internally. From our bottom of heart, we confess we are sinners. We recognize that Jesus Christ is the one who is sinless, died for us. So for anyone who believes Jesus internally, to confess that we are sinners, I am a sinner, I need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse my sin. And I confess that Jesus' death on the cross, His suffering, His body broken for me. I trust and confess Jesus Christ did this for me personally. And I recognize and publicly I will tell anybody, everybody I meet, that Jesus Christ is my Lord in any kind of circumstances. So, baptism is a public testimony for anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ that this person is a sinner, need Jesus Christ, and confess personally to God and also to the church, to other Christians, and therefore the church baptized this man or this woman into the water. Here, this passage said, when anyone who trusts and baptized, we publicly ask three questions. Do you trust the Bible is the Word of God? Do you trust the Bible says God is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Third one, do you confess you are sinners? You need salvation of Jesus Christ? Yes, then we baptize this person. In the baptism pool here, is baptismal, we have water, so that the one who be baptized will submerge into the water. The Bible says here, when we got into the water, we died, we associate public saying, publicly we say that I am buried myself, my old past, my old self, my sinful past, my sinful desire. All are buried, my sinful pattern of thinking, my worldly desires, all are buried with Jesus Christ into the water. Then when one raised up from the water, it is an identification that this person are identified publicly saying that I am a new man, I am a new woman of God, because now I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I'm united with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful, beautiful process. Because the unclean become pure. Because the past are, all the past are gone. Bad memories, bad sufferings are gone. We are new creatures in Christ. So, the new believer will receive the first communion. Because communion is about remembering, celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a celebration of a new you, a new person in Christ. Are you happy for that? Or you, if you have not been baptized, you might consider this is a very, very exciting process. I remember when I baptized in 1968, I was so happy. I was in college. And the first 2 years in college, I was miserable. I was in good school, but I was miserable. I had internal struggle. I had bad feelings against my parents. I'm not happy with my school. You know, good students in good school are very frustrated because we do not have Christ Jesus in us. And so that when I go through that process, I found peace in me. I found reconciliation. My relationship with my parents, with my siblings, are totally transformed. I will not fight anymore with my siblings. I used to be grouching in my mind. Many times, angry with my parents, I could throw furniture in my room. And my mom, very, very worried. I was peacefully outside, but internally I had a lot unpeaceful feeling. And I was, and I am very, very joyful to receive the baptism. And also, each time with very joyful expectations come into the communion. So you see, the communion is the beginning of a celebration of the baptism is the beginning of the celebration of communion. As celebration and remembrance from time to time to remind ourselves, remind me that Jesus Christ is living. He is living in me and I'm living with Him. He is my Lord. He is my friend. He is my risen Lord. I am very joyful to be identified with Him privately and publicly. So, today, we examine this to prepare our heart. Even though you are not a believer, you see this is not something we do routinely every first Sunday of the month. We do it because we just have to do it. No. You have to do it because you want to do it. You're not obligated to do it. Because if it is an obligation, you lost your desire to love Jesus. This is a love symbol for Jesus Christ, for us. This is how God shows us that we have a love covenant with Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26, that's the first covenant, the new covenant.
Matthew 26:29. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit from the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with your Father, with you in my Father's kingdom.
Yes, this is Jesus did before he was crucified. He prepared this for us to remember, to prepare us for this, for everyone of us to have a new relationship, to have a covenant of love. The covenant is a relationship God made for you and me. It's more than a contract. It's a legal relationship, but it's higher than just the law requirement on the earth. It is a commitment of life. Jesus poured out his life so that we may receive life. Usually a covenant describes a marriage. A marriage is covenant between a man and a woman. And the covenant Jesus made with us is a covenant that we prepare ourselves to receive this we are unworthy of. We are not equal with Jesus Christ. First of all, he's God become man. Secondly, that we are dirty. We are unworthy. He's holy. We are not equal. He needs to cleanse us, to raise us up to become with the same status. The status is a risen life, a resurrected life, his life in us. Then we become the equal part of this covenant of life, of love, the new covenant. The Bible says there are two covenants. Old covenant is by the Ten Commandments. The new covenant is God's love for you and me. So this new commandments that Jesus said, we need to follow because it is commandment of Jesus Christ. Secondly, he reminds us what Jesus has done for us. Thirdly, he wants us to examine ourselves. Each time in Corinthians, the passage says we need to examine ourselves. And then it is a celebration of hope because Jesus said, do this until I come back. So each time we come to this, it's not a routine. It is one step closer to meet Jesus. One step forward to meet our Lord Jesus Christ is one step together that the bride and groom meet together. It is a preparation for a future wedding in the heaven. Our bride is Jesus Christ, we are the groom. Spiritually, we have this close relationship. We need to be aware. A celebration in the future. And certainly, fifthly, we are taking part as a body of Christ. So, in the Bible, there are good examples. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. So we have them to read for us.
Acts chapter 2, 40 to 47. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonder and miracle signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you. The first church in Jerusalem prepared well to take part of the communion, to celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, they followed Peter's teaching, just as we should follow the commandment of Jesus Christ. They follow the apostles' preaching from the Word of God, and remind them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So that first preparation the first church had was to come to the table to follow the Word of God, to get away from the corruption of the Word. Today we need to do the same thing. Today we need to examine ourselves, where we are of this Word. And the baptized, and then 42 said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Remember, see, these three are connected. Obey, and they accept each other, have fellowship, and the breaking the bread and to pray. This is how the good examples of preparing to the communion. When obey the Word of God, we will spontaneously to remember, this is from the Word of God. It is from Lord Jesus Christ. It is from the pastor, from Dustin, or from whoever, the Sunday school teacher. That then we remember Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, because his death and the resurrection changed our relationship of this Word. And we are not of this Word, we are of God. So this celebration, the communion, help us to identify our identity. We have a new status. We have a new belonging. We are not belong to this Word, we belong to God. So communion is a announcement, a proclamation saying, I am not of this worldly pattern anymore. I am of the kingdom of God. We are of another world, not of this world. But we are still in this world. So we are different. We are separated. We are belonging to a different kind of group. The group of obeying the Word of God. Word of God. This is a very, very exciting process. And you see, people around are filled with awe. People will see the difference. Have you been in the church and go home? People would ask you, hey, are you happy? Are you very, very filled with Word of God? Or when you go back to home, your family who are not Christians will say, hey, what happened to you today in the church? I had this process once when I was in a military camp. And that was a two months training. And that training, by the weekend, we were able to go back home. And so by Thursday night, I started to prepare myself. I read the Bible on my bed. And that was a huge, huge compound. We have about 100 soldiers there. While I was reading the Bible, and the Word of God really showed light in me, I become excited. I become comforted. I become very joyful. And one of my colleagues, I have fellow soldiers, turned to me and said, hey, what happened to you? Are you reading a love letter? Is that your girlfriend's letter to you? I said, no, I'm reading the Bible. Then I realized I'm reading the love letter from God. I enjoy reading the Word of God. My face changed. My friend in the army showed interest in me, saying, what happened to you? I said, I was just reading the Bible. I was just enjoying the Word of God. I'm facing the Holy God who loves me. That's how the first church in Jerusalem showed. They followed the Word of God. They had good fellowship. They take the communion, and people around see their life being changed. So a communion can change our life. And our life also bringing two good elements into receiving communion. In other words, your life is a preparation coming to the table of the Lord. And in 46 it said, they are all happy every day. They celebrate the communion in the temple and in their house. So I do encourage Christian families to start a home communion service. It is a celebration. It is not just a pastor can do. Each household can do this. You can remember and celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in the end, they praise God. People around them love them. And God bring more people to the church because that becomes a drawing element for people. Want to see what's going on. So, for this matter, in the Testament, in the New Testament, there are also warnings of bad examples of churches. They do not prepare come to the table of the Lord, not coming to the communion with right attitude. We will read 1 Corinthians.
First Corinthians chapter 1:10-17. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that all of you would agree with one another so that there may be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brother, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you say I follow Paul, and another I follow Apollo, another I follow Cephas, still another I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of any of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus, but beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be empty of its power.
Thank you. This church has a problem. This church has problems because they see Christ as head of the church, though they do not really honoring Jesus Christ. They divide it. Even someone say, I belong to Christ. Then they do not see others, accept others as followers of Jesus Christ. They have divisions. They follow their own desires, actually. Though they say they follow some leaders, but they are not really follow those leaders. They follow what they like in themselves. In other words, they are self-centered. The selfishness in them. They are not obeyed word of God. Paul said here said, was Jesus divided? No, Jesus Christ died on the cross. His brokenness want to bring all of us together. His brokenness is not for us to divide. Our division actually will hurt Jesus Christ. So, also they have quarrel. They have arguments. They don't have one thought. They do not have that one mind. They do not accept others as who they are. They do not honor Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ accept who we are. That's before. That's how I was. When I before I was baptized, I saw my parents as some kind of people. I saw my brothers and sisters in the house, my siblings, as somebody they are not agree with me. I thought my parents are against me. I thought my brothers and sisters are competition, my love. From the love my parents are having for me. So you see, that kind of mindset actually appeared in Corinthian church. They compete. They do not have unity. When I become Christian, when I receive Christ, when after I had baptism, those kind of selfishness went away from me. How come the Christians in Corinthian church had still this problem? Because they are baby Christians. They are just beginning and they don't grow. They don't follow, they don't obey. They just follow their own desire. They do not follow the word of God. So they boast in the following part of chapter 1, that they boast their achievements. They boast their earthly wisdoms. They are rich, so they think their worldly status in having something really made them different. So the Corinthian church really shows the problem of that church. And later on, in chapter 5, there Paul used the Old Testament as warning. Because all the Old Testament problems are actually appear in the Church of Corinthians. Read that passage for us.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9-11. I've written you in my letters not to associate with sexual immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, who are the greedy and swindlers, who are idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, or greedy, or an idolater, or a swindler, or a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat.
Thank you. In summary, the Apostle Paul used Old Testament teachings to tell the Christians in Corinthians that they have immoral behaviors. They are greedy. They are idol worship. They have problematic marriages. They have evil thoughts. They have behaviors not honoring God. They have grumblings. They have so many problems. So the Bible for them is the Old Testament. For us now is the whole Bible. It is a mirror. The bad examples are the ones become warning to us. This is the warning that the apostle taught the Corinthian church Christians. And in chapter 11, then Paul told this passage about their communion. We will read that again, please. From 17, chapter 11, verse 17.
First Corinthians chapter 11, 17. In the following directive, I have no praise for you. For your meeting, do not harm them good. In the first place, I hear that you have come together as a church. There are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there will be differences among you to show which you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? For you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after his supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Thank you. For them, their communion is not just like we do now. They have something like a potluck together, or actually they bring down food to the church. They have meeting together, eating together. But if I prepare just a vegetable salad, or someone bring a chicken, someone bring seafood, shrimp, or whatever you like, and bring drink, some good wine, some poor people just water, or some piece of bread, and some don't have food. That's what happened during that church. And afterwards, they will have observation of the Lord's Supper. Just like those Passover meals. They have lamb, they have unleavened bread, they have some herbs. If some house could have a good lamb, some others don't afford it. They do not have that luxury. So the Corinthian church, they ate, some already being drunken, some already being full, some fell into sleep. They don't really prepare. They don't really examine themselves. Not like today. We are here, sobering, listen to the Word of God. We follow the Word of God. We examine ourselves. We confess our sins, and we receive these elements. So this is what we should consider. We have already prepared here a pattern that's worthy for receiving communion. Though we need to also go deeper, like the church in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts. They have a daily walk with God. They have a joyful life. They have a very devoting lifestyle to follow the teaching of the apostles. They share gospels. They turn away from the behavior of the worldly pattern. And like the Corinthian church, they prepare to go to the communion, though without correct mindset. And their life are still evil. Their life are still like the other people who are not Christians. They are not turning away from their bad behaviors, incorrect thinkings, or different focus on their hearts that we call idol. Idol not necessarily to be just outside. It is a focus that dominates us from following the Word of God. Dominate our heart that we are now worship our true God. For this matter, that is what we need to reflect to prepare our heart for this communion today. Do we have a joyful expectation for second coming of Jesus Christ? Do we have a daily walk with God to have a praising day? Or do we have grumbling day? Do we have a relationship with our parents, with our co-workers, with our classmates that is honoring Jesus Christ? Or are we the same as they are? Do we pursue the kingdom of God to glorify God, to love God more, or do we want to love ourselves? to prepare something else, not what Bible teaches us we should follow. So this is what I present to you today. Prepare our hearts, turn away from old patterns, to confess that we need to see this is a happy reminding, a reminder that Jesus died for us so that we can turn away from our old feeling, our old relationship, our worldly pattern. Let's pray and prepare our heart for these elements. As we silently pray that we know God examines all of us. We know God loves us. His word is encouraging us to turn, to repent. Repentance means turn away from old way, turn to God, to honor Him with expectations that He is going to renew us, with a joyful hope that He is going to lead us, to give us strength to have a new relationship, a renewed desire, a renewed feeling, a renewed hope that He is going to lead us to have a victorious life, a life that will come help us to overcome the bad desires, the incorrect influence. Let's pray, and we ask God to bless this piece of bread. This is the body of Christ. This is a piece that Jesus' body broken for you, died for you. Thank you for this. This is your body broken for all of us. As we meditate the death and resurrection, we thank you. And we examine ourselves. We are not worthy, but we want to be worthy by trusting Jesus. Confess that we need to turn, to repent, and to follow you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you've been baptized, you can take. If you are not, just read the Word of God and confess that you need Jesus. You may read Isaiah 53. Jesus was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with sufferings, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Jesus stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. But Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, and Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Jesus. Let's take with gratefulness in Jesus Christ. After the bread, Jesus also took the top cup. So this is a the bread. This is the blood that I shed for you. Start. By Jesus once, we are healed. We are like sheep, or have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet Jesus did not open his mouth. Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, Jesus did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, Jesus was taken away. We are thankful that Jesus' blood cleanses our sin and we may be renewed. Announcement that as a pastor, I'd like to let you know that Father Howard Huang decided to go to another church. We remember him for his service to the Lord in this community, in this church, and we bless him for his decision because it's still the body of Christ. We honor that there's only one true church of the universe. So today, as we celebrate this communion, we still remember our brothers in different denominations. And we thank God that we can serve God in different places. Praise God.
I am accepted. announcements. There will be English small groups.
我把它赶出来。 但是这是我们人生的事实，不是吗？ 所以来到圣诞节， 来到礼拜的时候， 今天尤其我们有非常非常不一样的心情， 跟赎会的感觉一样。 父亲走了，当然是会掉眼泪， 当然是非忧伤难过。 但中国人80岁以上都叫做喜丧了， 可以带红的。 我第一次去参加我的教会的一个老弟兄的聚会就是这样的，在很冷的天气，我第一次要代替邱牧师主持那个丧礼的时候，我穿着大棉袄去，冷得不得了。我的感觉就是，经过死亡，诗歌有一个诗歌说，经过死亡的冷河，那个死亡的河是很冰冷的，是那个死亡的河是冷酷的，生命在那里没有希望。 但是你知道吗？ 诗篇23篇说， 他要带我们经过死因为幽谷却不怕遭害，这是信靠神的人有的祝福。所以在那样一个背景里头，我就发现，哦，基督徒面对死亡不一样，因为有一个为我们死，从天上到地上来成为人的人生的形状的这个神， 他自己成为婴孩，成为最有祝福，大家最希望看到的生命的开始，然后从他身上得到那个生命的祝福，他是注定要死，然后把我们从死里面救出来。所以单单这样想，耶稣基督的身就是非常奇妙的。 更不用说，今天我们所用的这个圣经以赛亚书9章6节，因有一婴孩为我们而生，有一子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上，他的名称为奇妙、测试全能的神、永在的父、和平的君。所以今天我们就来思想这个耶稣的名字叫做奇妙。当然，在英文说是奇妙的测试， 没有关系，我们用中文的来读一样的合适。名字在犹太人的里面，他们取名旧约里头有三个要重要的意义。第一就是说明上帝要给人的恩典。犹太人的名字在旧约里头就是说明上帝要给人的那个恩赐、那个恩惠、那个恩典。 所以旧约有很多名字就是有上帝的恩典在里头，比如说这个雅各原来是抓的意思，后来就变成以色列，变成神的王子，所以上帝要借着他来赐福。第二，圣经里面的名字旧约的是说，在那个名字里有将来的盼望，所以这个将来的盼望， 这个比如说弥赛亚，弥赛亚这个名字到了先知书里头，就变成一个上帝要借着弥赛亚这个身份的这一位，要来赐福以色列人，对将来有盼望，因为他们的国家、他们民族都越来越走下坡路，所以 圣经上旧约的名字里面，新约也是这样，对将来上帝在那个名字里头赋予他希望。第三，表示即将或者将要临到的命运。这个名字说到上帝的审判领导。所以这个名字耶稣基督的名字是什么呢？耶稣的名字说他是奇妙的，他是奇妙的。 所以在新约圣经，如果你有圣经翻开新约圣经第1章，这个马太福音第1章，耶稣基督的名字是什么呢？马太福音第1章就说是耶稣基督的家谱，所以开宗明义就讲耶稣基督，就是这个有一个子，有一个婴孩为我们而生，有一子赐给我们，他的名字到新约来说就是耶稣基督。 这个耶稣基督呢，其实是两部分，一个是耶稣，一个是基督。好，那十六节也说，那称为基督的耶稣是从玛利亚生的。那个耶稣降生的事记在下面，到了第二十一节，这个他，这是指玛利亚，他将要生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫耶稣，因他要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。这节圣经太好了，耶稣名字的意义，来把它读一遍。他将要生一个儿子，你要给他起名叫耶稣，因他要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。他的名字第一奇妙就是他说明了上帝对人拯救的意思。他说明了上帝给人希望，他说明了上帝在耶稣身上所交给他的使命。所以耶稣希伯来原文就是耶和华拯救，旧约里的约书亚就是新约的耶稣，就是耶和华拯救。所以当我们今天呼叫耶稣，奉耶稣基督名祷告的时候，这里头有上帝的心意。你不要轻忽的觉得说就是称一个耶稣的名，或者说叫某一个人的名字，不是那样简单的。在耶稣这个名字里头，是上帝要将自己的百姓从罪恶里救出来。你祷告主耶稣的时候，这个耶稣这个名字就是耶和华要拯救。在我们呼求的时候，在我们称呼的时候，这个里头有他上帝的作为在里头。所以亲爱的弟兄姐妹，我们在今天读这个圣经，在这个听到的时候，我们要被提醒耶稣的名字就是耶和华拯救，他要拯救你，从你每天的光景中被提出来，从罪里面救出来。基督是什么呢？基督就是刚刚旧约的弥赛亚，就是受膏者，就是诗篇133篇那里总结了这个旧约祭司的那个浇灌的动作，膏抹的意思 ，anointing， 膏抹的意思。诗篇133篇说：“看哪，弟兄和睦同居是何等的善，何等的美！这好比那贵重的油浇在亚伦的头上，流到胡须，又流到他的衣襟。贵重的油，亚伦是大祭司，用橄榄油，清新的橄榄油压榨。”橄榄油，橄榄没有什么，不是你这么一吃就有油的那种食物哈。橄榄要压，压了之后才出油，所以橄榄油压了之后浇在亚伦的头上，亚伦按照圣经所说的，他就分别出来侍奉神。这个油流到头上，流到胡须，流到衣襟，浇灌着他整个的人。在旧约里头，所有膏抹过的，他们就分别出来，有耶和华的灵与他们同在，他们得到上帝的能力，他们得到上帝的权柄，他们得到上帝的使命，他们来服侍神。大祭司为着百姓的需要，为着当时以色列国的需要，在那里到神面前祷告。被神膏的，在旧约里头弥赛亚这个称呼后来专用在基督身上，但是起初是祭司、先知、君王都要受膏，因为在旧约里头的耶和华的灵，神的灵是浇灌在所有这些经过这个膏的这个典礼，这个膏的礼拜的这些人。所以耶稣基督的基督是什么呢？基督原来是个称号，但是变成专有的一个词，现在可以说是一个专有的名词。耶稣基督的名很奇妙，他不但救人脱离罪，并且他是神所膏抹的，先知、祭司、君王都集中在耶稣基督的身上。今天 这个名很奇妙，因为信耶稣的人被称为耶稣徒，还是被称为基督徒？基督徒，没有人称你是耶稣徒，很好玩的一个想法。为什么叫基督徒呢？就受膏的意义来说，信耶稣的人是因为圣灵而重生得救。当我们信的时候，你的心思意念开始愿意听福音的时候，你的心思意念看见别的基督徒，你说这个我也想要，那个时候是圣灵的感动，出于圣灵的感动就会称耶稣基督是神，这哥林多前书说的。被圣灵感动的没有可以说耶稣是被咒诅的，出于圣灵感动的就会称耶稣基督为主。所以我们信耶稣的人在受洗的时候是奉圣父圣子圣灵的名给你施洗，我们是因圣灵而饮喝进去啊，圣灵充满我们，我们打开自己好像一个器皿一样，要接受圣灵丰富的充满我们，让我们可以得到像旧约一样，这些祭司像耶稣基督圣灵充满，他没有限量，我们可以越来越丰富承受我们这个生命的杯啊，我们这个人啊是一个生命的杯，可以承受上帝的祝福。最好的祝福就是接受圣灵的浇灌，接受圣灵的充满，这样就能够成为一个名副其实的基督徒。所以耶稣基督的名字奇妙的地方在这里，他有这个耶稣基督的拯救的使命，有这个拯救的工作，已经借着十字架钉十字架死里复活完成这个拯救的工作，又在他这个离去世界以前，他求父赐下圣灵，他升天以后，这个十天五旬节圣灵降临浇灌下来，使徒跟当时在这个圣殿里人都被圣灵充满，圣灵的时代开始，圣灵充满在今天我们每一个信靠神的人中间，圣灵今天运行在我们聚会的会堂里面。很有福的，你若是愿意相信，打开心门呼求主耶稣拯救，你就蒙拯救了。你就在心里面，有的人是在聚会中，他说主耶稣，我要被圣灵充满，我要你那个丰盛的生命，我要你救我的那个生命，我要在聚会中他祷告，他就得着。所以耶稣基督的名字真的非常奇妙，这是一个赐福给你我的名字。所以这是为什么我们今天要思想这个名奇妙，因为这个名包含了上帝让我们透过他得生命的恩赐。约翰福音十章十节说，盗贼来要偷窃杀害毁坏，撒旦魔鬼来就是把神在人的身上要遵从神的那个荣耀把它夺走。所以今天很多人拜偶像，很多人拜邪神，拜其他神，不来拜耶稣基督，不来敬拜独一的真神上帝。撒旦夺走上帝的荣耀，撒旦夺走人的祝福，偷走了，杀害，让人不愿意。我们从心里头说，与顽梗的人说，心里头说没有神，把人心中对于神的那个寻求的机会抹杀掉。当人听到，有的人听了到之后，听完前面听，后面就忘，那个道就是被拿走了，撒旦把人心中拿走了，毁坏掉上帝的工作，杀害掉上帝要给我们的生命，毁坏，偷窃，杀害，毁坏。但是耶稣说，我来了是要叫羊得生命，并且得的更丰盛。耶稣基督的名就是要赐给我们的，耶稣基督的名就是让我们接受以后，我们就跟基督耶稣的生命可以连接在一起。 我们因耶稣基督名有盼望，因为耶稣基督还要再回来。我们因为耶稣基督有盼望，我们的生命就不再死，死在不在我们身上掌权，我们可以过得胜的生活。所以在第二章的第二节，这个希律王的时候，耶稣生在犹太的伯利恒，有几个博士从东方来到耶路撒冷，说第二章第二节，我们一起读，那生下来做犹太人之王的在哪里？我们在东方看见他的心，特来拜他。耶稣生下来是做王的，他的名字在启示录里说他是万王之王，他是万主之主。他生下来是做王的，他是要在人中间掌权。在钉十字架的时候，牌子上面写着是犹太人的王。所以耶稣的名字非常奇妙，有这么多的名字，每一个名字都说明他跟我们人的关系。犹太人那时候害怕，全耶路撒冷城都不安，但是东方有学问的人来寻找这一位生下来做王的。我们把这段圣经把它挪距离远一点，东方的人，我们这些原来从东方来的人，我们要来称耶稣基督为王，我们要来在这个耶稣基督做王的这个季节里头，我们要来尊崇他为王，我们心中来尊他为主，我们心中来尊他为神。这真是一个奇妙的，我们中国人不太喜欢这样，尤其在满清打倒以后，不太喜欢有皇帝了。毛泽东的歌叫做从来没有什么神仙皇帝，把上帝也打倒了。但是来到神面前，我们每一个人都要再次尊崇，只有耶稣基督是我们心中的主，他是我们的王，他是我们的神。在以赛亚书那里也说到，他是和平的君王，他是赐平安的君王。所以在这个路加福音那个地方就讲到，在耶稣降生的时候，这个天使啊，这牧羊人，众天使长啊，在众天这个二章的十四节，十二节十三节十四节，其实从十一节开始，第九节开始说，主的使者站在这些牧羊人旁边，主的荣光四面照着他们，牧羊的人就甚害怕。那天使对他们说，不要惧怕，我报给你们大喜的信息是关乎万民的，因今天在大卫的城里为你们生了救主，就是主基督。你们要看见一个婴孩包着布卧在马槽里，那就是记号了。忽然有一大队天兵从那天使赞美上帝说，在至高之处荣耀归于神，在地上平安归于他所喜悦的人。当耶稣降生的时候，这个牧羊人在田野旷野之中有天使报信，然后在天上有天使天君颂赞上帝，在至高之处荣耀归于神，在地上平安归于他所喜悦的人。耶稣降生的时候宣告他的降生，同时有报平安的。我们今天领受这个信息，耶稣来他是赐和平赐平安的上帝。所以我们看见这个名真是奇妙，因为我们真知道信耶稣的人，我们里面有平安。哥罗西斯说要让基督的平安在我们心中做主，当基督在你心中做主的时候，你就有 说不出来的平安，是这个世界不能够夺取的。你可能有的时候像今天，其实我有一点点，今天要讲两堂，前面讲一堂英文，然后其实我忙到一个地步，昨天才有时间全心准备讲道。前两天有人问说，牧师你的讲道怎么样了，我说还要特别祷告，所以就有人特别迫切祷告，感谢主已经过了一半了，英文的讲完了。 现在讲中文的，求你们请求主帮助我们每个人亲流领受，不在乎牧师讲的怎么样，在乎你们祷告，我们一同在神面前领受。我在这里讲道的时候也是一样，求神给我讲道从神来的话语，常常在这里上帝继续赐话语。所以他的奇妙在他的名里面，因为他的降生非常奇妙，有上帝借着世上君王掌权的来成就这件事情。在路加福音第二章，他的出生非常奇妙，跟历史分不开关系。那些日子该杀雅古斯都有旨意下来，叫天下人民都报名上册。这是居里柳做巡抚，叙利亚巡抚的时候头一次行报名上册的事，个人各归各城报名上册。约瑟也从加利的拿撒勒，原来他们是住在拿撒勒的，在北方小城上犹太去，从这个加利的山上到这个犹大省，中间经过撒玛利亚到的这个犹大外面的这个郊区的伯利恒啊，报名上册是因为罗马皇帝要收税。可是这件事情在弥迦书那里就已经预言了，弥迦书五章二节，因为收税的缘故，他们又回本族本地，他们地方，他们原来在哪里？原来原籍在伯利恒，所以他们叫千里迢迢，已经怀孕了，到伯利恒。这个是弥迦书五章二节说的，在耶稣降生之前几百年的时间，弥迦就预言基督要生在伯利恒以法他。这是奇妙的应验，上帝大能的手安排。所以耶稣基督名字奇妙，他的降生更奇妙，因为神的时候满足。加拉太书说的，神的时候满足，无论是政治的、经济的，条条大路通往罗马是为了传福音预备的。那时候罗马因为要统治这么大的帝国的缘故，所以修很好的这个罗马的那个石板道，让这个马车可以走。可是后来，当保罗等等其他的信这个使徒传道的时候，他们有好路可以走，可以传到罗马去。但是耶稣降生的时候更奇妙的是，那个政策，罗马皇帝会缺钱，所以要收税，所以就下命令，这个巡抚还第一次做这个事，真是奇妙。因为上帝的作为是透过人间的这一切来彰显他在神的神在人的国度中间掌权。这是但以理书所说的，耶稣基督的作为和教导，特别像新约的登山宝训，许多人听了心里都就受感动，哇，这么好的教导。有一些我们在 Virginia 传道的时候，一些国内的朋友们，他们读了这个就说，哇，中国人的这些好的这个古典的四书五经的这些教导从来没有这一切，但是耶稣讲的话深入人心，耶稣把旧约外面律法的要求讲到人心中间去，并且更深入。中国人虽然讲到修身齐家，从我们诚意正心开始，但是就进不去了，因为没有挪去罪的能力，因为没有耶稣基督洗净人的罪的最根本的改变生命源头的这个关系在那里。所以耶稣的道非常奇妙，当时的文士法利赛人也稀奇耶稣的教训。耶稣基督所做的这一切事，是完完全全的说明了他自己是这样奇妙的神。所以他的所有这一切，圣经上说没有办法完全把它写下来。在圣经上面，约翰福音那里说，但记这些事，要叫你们信耶稣是基督，是上帝的儿子，并且叫你们信了他，就可以因他的名得生命。圣经上说这一切 耶稣的名字奇妙，耶稣是上帝的儿子，马可福音第一章也这样讲，耶稣的名字很重要的一个，他就是上帝的儿子，神成为人，在他的身上他放弃天上一切的尊荣，但是他的神的属性，他的神的本性，三一真神，他是无知无限无限全能，无所不知无所不能的上帝，他是永恒的上帝，这些上帝完全的特点，完全的荣耀等等只有神有，但是他把创作，他把公义、圣洁、怜悯、慈爱、公平等等都赏给人，人有限，但是在神的属性底下，我们是按照他的形象造的，我们的里头跟神可以产生关联。耶稣基督完全的神性之下，他在道成肉身，在童子女玛利亚身上的时候，他有完全的人，整全的人性，跟我们一样，他会渴，他会饿，他欢笑，他哭泣，他发怒。但是他没有犯罪，有完整的神性，有完整的人性，但是他从来没有放弃他是神的这个地位，他只在人的这个我们的人的这个奴仆的形象里面，他限制他自己，所以他不断的跟神祷告，跟天父上帝祷告，他也不断的要支取圣灵的同在，这是在基督耶稣身上非常奇妙，三一真神，同时是神，同时是人，神人二性，没有混淆，没有改变，完全就是神的这个特质，这是绝对奇妙。我们人这个2000多年西方的神学家、哲学家在这方面希望能够找到人可以用语言说明的，没有办法说明，我们只能够很有限的这一部分那一部分的去了解部分，因为他是无欠完全奇妙的上帝，所以这个奇妙就使我们今天可以到神面前来承认说，哦，我要这个生命，我要在这个生命里面来跟神发生这个完全的关系。他借什么给我？他是借什么给你？借着他钉十字架死里复活，他的死更是奇妙，审判的人找不出什么罪来。约翰福音里头说，这是他说他是我自己把我的命舍了，他甘心乐意受苦，他甘心乐意为我们来受鞭伤，在他钉十字架的时候，他说：“父啊，赦免他们，因为他们所做的，他们不知道。”当我们再一次看他为我们钉十字架，我们受鞭伤的时候，我们的心就再一次来说：“真是奇妙，这一位伟大的上帝为我受苦。”我们来看这段影片，预备圣餐礼拜。看耶稣基督为我们钉十字架受鞭伤那个影片，我们一起来思想，因他受的鞭伤叫我们得医治，因他受的刑罚叫我们得平安，我们都如羊走迷，但是如今我们归在这一位基督耶稣的身上，所以彼得前书这里清清楚楚告诉我们说，我们蒙召原是为此，因为基督也是为我们受苦，但是他给我们留下榜样，叫我们跟随他的脚中行，叫我们能够在他的面前来知道他们受的苦不是白受苦，我们乃是在他的面前可以把自己交托给他，在生活中我们有很多的挣扎，在生活中我们没有平安，在生活中我们是充满劳苦重担的，他受的一切担当我们，所以我们可以到神面前来呼求他，主啊，谢谢你，我沉重的时候你担当， 我的罪你担当，别人给我们的辱骂你担当，别人对我们的不谅解你担当，你要带我们能够来思想你为我钉十字架的奇妙，来归向你，来顺服你，我们罪的重担神承担，我们就有平安。我们罪的刑罚我们本当受的，我们自己在罪头受苦我们不必受，因为我们与他同钉十字架，我们就可以享受这个平安，就可以享受这个释放。所以在马太福音的十一章的28节说，凡劳苦担重担的人可以到我这里来，我就使你们得安息，我心里柔和谦卑，你们当负我的轭，学我的样式，这样你们心里就必得享安息。耶稣基督的轭就是他为我们受鞭伤，为我们受苦钉十字架，所以我们就预备心到神面前来，一面看一面思想，把自己一切的劳苦重担自己的罪都交给耶稣基督。
Mostra il nostro scuolo di vetro.
Uno! Due! Sette!
Un comine impunire non è un castigare usque ad mortem, è un perdon!
Maestas, Rosa Pulcherrin.
Aspicite illum, regem vermum. Ave, rex verminosus, ave!
Homo regalis!
Amiculo regale del condato!
Ecce commo! Allora lascia!
Zeluvle!
Non è del com! Cosorek!
Zeluvle!
Tutti che on di bene sale ha avuto le cantone a nasa cumi da ma di una sciam is he black?
What a nerd they wear! Bismarck and they wear!
Descende!
And who? Mashiach! Ana Amar Yerudhu min salva dinakaze wa nehahami!
一起再一次来预备我们的心，来领受圣餐。圣餐就是纪念主为我们死，好叫我们知道
他的爱何等的深，我们的生命在他里头得到更新和改变，我们就不再为自己活，乃为我们死而复活的主活。我们就在神面前来来一起读这一段圣经。我当日传给你们的，原是从主领受的，就是主耶稣被卖的那一夜，拿起饼来祝谢了，就擘开说，这是我的身体，为你们舍的，你们应当如此行，为的是纪念我。饭后也照样拿起杯来说，这杯是用我的血所立的新约，你们每逢喝的时候要如此行，为的是纪念我。你们每逢吃着饼喝着杯，是表明主的死，只等到他来。我以无论何人不按理吃主的饼喝主的杯，就是干犯主的身主的血了。人应当自己省察，然后吃这饼喝这杯，因为人吃喝若不分辨是主的身体，就是吃喝自己的罪了。我们看这一段影片，听到思想神的话，为的是我们在这个过程之中，我们的心思意念会有改变。因为圣餐要分辨，否则就是吃喝自己的罪。在耶稣设立圣餐的时候，有一个人也有分辨，犹大，他就吃喝这个饼，于是耶稣就跟他说，你要做事情去做吧，因为那个时候撒旦就进入他的心中。所以一定要分辨，一定要省察，要承认自己的罪，回转悔改我们的心思意念，悔改回转我们的行为，这样耶稣的血就在我们身上继续产生更新的功效。因为耶稣基督一次钉十字架死里复活，就完成了基督耶稣在我们身上救恩的工作。所以过去的赦免，今天就是现在，我们想到我们还有亏欠神的地方，我们要认罪。未来我们不见得就会完全，再有的时候还要继续的到十字架面前，他赦免的工作继续在我们身上发生，能够让